Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Even though that saying is apparently not a popular one around here, this is Monday Football Monday on the SB Nation NFL Show. Today is Monday, March 13th, 2023, the Monday of legal tampering across the National Football League, which means we have a lot to get to. A reminder before we get to all of it that this show is brought to you by our friends at DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. As noted, this is the SB Nation NFL Show. My name, RJ Ochoa from SB Nation's blog and the boys. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. Search for the SB Nation NFL Show. Subscribe. Leave a rating and write a review. You can also watch us live every Monday, obviously, on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel, the SB Nation NFL Twitter page, or Facebook page. The fantastic Rachelle Prevett is behind the glass on the ones and twos. Jeremy Reisman is off gallivanting somewhere. But with me is the man who hated on my good morning, good afternoon, and good night. It is from SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride, the author of A Dynasty Begins, Pete Sweeney. Pete!
Hey, look at you.
Happy Monday!
Yeah, if you're just listening to the audio, RJ is holding up the book, which I really appreciate that you bought. RJ, happy Monday to you. And more importantly, happy early St. Patrick's Day. I know that's a big holiday down there for you.
I do have some green on the shoulders of the polo that I'm wearing. I don't know why it would be a big holiday down here.
For each petal on the shamrock, this brings a wish your way. Good health, good luck, and happiness for today and every day. A little Irish blessing for you.
Thank you very much, Pete. That means a lot to me. I have a very important question for you. Before we get started with all of the NFL stuff, we are less than an hour now, actually. Actually, as this episode ends, we'll cross into the legal tampering period. But
This whole episode will be irrelevant by the time it...
I mean, by the time we finish in some way, shape, or form to some degree. But hey, you know, shout out to us. Yeah. But so I saw last week, and I was reminded again this morning, that the song Stop by the Spice Girls is 25 years old. That freaked me out. Like, I had sort of an existential crisis when I realized that. But my question to you is, if you and I were Spice Girls, who would be who and why? And I think Rachelle would be Baby Spice around here. You know what I mean? Like, she's the young one of the group. I think that that makes sense. Sure. So Baby's off the table. So you have, and I think we should assign Jeremy a Spice Girl persona. So your options are Ginger, Sporty, Posh, and Scary.
I feel like my vibe is more of a Posh, you know, just a little bit more laid back, pinky up, standoffish. Whereas as you, I think, would probably be Sporty Spice. I mean, we know how much you enjoy the sports.
the sports.
I mean, it's not just the football. It's not just the Cowboys. You're often saying howdy with the, what's the school? The A&M.
Texas A&M, that would be, right? Fighting Texas Aggies, right? Good tough, times tough, coming up with the March Madness situation.
Tough day for A&M yesterday.
Look, nobody cares about the... hold up. So I'm going to speed us through this very quickly. So you're Posh. I'm Sporty. We established that Rachelle is Baby Spice. I think Jeremy is Ginger. He has kind of a ginger vibe.
He's got that sexy mustache every November.
Right. And for the purposes of rounding out the group, the boss man, Michael Kist, can be Scary Spice for obvious reasons.
Sure. You never know when he's going to come down with the pod hammer, and so it is kind of scary at those moments.
Right. So, okay, Pete, can you tell me what 12 personnel is in the NFL? Give me a football guy.
Of course. So that means one running back and one tight end.
One receiver and two tight ends, but also one receiver, the listing, obviously, but you are correct. But anyway, so it seems the Atlanta Falcons may be playing some 12 personnel this coming season. They have traded for New England Patriots tight end no more, Jonnu Smith. He is headed to the Atlanta Falcons by way of the most recent NFL trade. I have not seen any compensation yet. If you have, Pete, let's see. No, nothing yet. But Jonnu Smith, the big free agent signing for the Patriots, along with Hunter Henry, actually, 2 years ago for New England. Now, honestly, maybe one of the worst free agent signings in certainly Patriots history, but maybe NFL history. I mean, they gave him a lot of money. It didn't work out, but he is now joining the Falcons group that has Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Pete. It's for a seventh rounder. And it's worth mentioning that Arthur Smith, the Falcons head coach, was the offensive coordinator for Tennessee when Jonnu Smith was there and had success.
So I'm trying to jog my memory here, but I vaguely remember this Titans-Patriots situation, and Jonnu Smith became free. And we were really excited about where he was going to go because we thought it was this up-and-coming tight end. And then in the Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniel thing of all things, they end up adding the two tight ends. And from a fantasy perspective, everyone that was excited about Jonnu Smith suddenly realized it to be a timeshare with Hunter Henry. And so this continues the Jonnu Smith, I think, cap on him because he's still not going to be the number one guy in Atlanta. Right.
So the Cowboys, just to kind of make things about myself for a moment.
Sure.
11 days ago, you know, we're reported to be working on a big impact addition to the offense. And I have no idea if that will come to pass or what that would be. But a lot of us at BTB and Cowboys fans alike were speculating because there were some reports about tight ends and things like that. Could they trade for Kyle Pitts? Right. Like that was kind of the wondering out loud. Do you think that there's any idea, any indication that Atlanta could be wanting to move on? Or is this just Arthur Smith wanting his old friend back in Jonnu Smith for a seventh rounder?
I would tend to think if you're going to move Pitts, it's got to be for a quarterback of some sort, right? Wouldn't you think so? I mean, if you're going to move on from Kyle Pitts, who you went up and traded a big time, or you went up and got him. He was a top 10 pick.
He was in the top five, yeah.
Top five. And so I feel like if you're moving him, it's for a big move, which it would to me would be a quarterback and, you know, trading up into to get the quarterback of your desire. But you also have the Desmond Ridder situation. So that would be a little bit more complex than just the average team without a quarterback going up and getting one.
It's very strange why the Falcons would take on the big contract. Now, they do have a lot of salary cap space to work with, Atlanta does, but I mean, you would have thought, like, typically when we've seen some sort of, like, call it a salary dump in the NFL, there has been, like, maybe this would have been, like, Jonnu Smith and a second-round pick, right? Like, the way we saw, was it Duke Johnson, who the Texans took from the Browns?
Well, I think even just the other day, to me, like, if you're going to move on from a player like that, let's say Pitts was available, like, we saw more as part of that package for Carolina to go and get the number one pick for Chicago. And so
what we're going to talk about. Wow.
A little bit of a weird, for me, it's a little bit of a weird trade. I'm not sure I get it completely.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Jonnu, at least currently, is the type of player that merits taking on this big salary cap hit. So, like, you would have thought there would have been some sort of, like, again, like a third round pick going to Atlanta as well. The price of taking on that contract. It's just a very, unless Arthur Smith is that confident that you know, there's a player there who they can work with, or if they do plan on trading away Kyle Pitts. I mean, it's very, very, very strange situation.
Thing that we'll say, and for whatever reason they did trade for him, is Smith gets a new start. I mean, you probably remember this. He was a hot candidate to be on the free agent market when he did leave what was Tennessee. Didn't really stick with New England. I think we had some injury issues. Again, the share with Hunter Henry as far as targets and whatnot. And so now he gets some new life breath into his career. And it looks like, according to Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer, he's going to have a contract restructure with Arthur Smith to keep him aboard. So we shall see what happens with Smith in Atlanta.
That would make sense. So his final season in Tennessee, Arthur Smith 2020, 41 catches, 448 yards, 8 touchdowns. And it's worth mentioning that 8 touchdowns was as many as he had in his previous 3 years combined. I mean, he exploded. But with New England in the 2 seasons there, he has had 55 receptions for 539 yards and 1 touchdown, which came in the 2021 season. So Big time miss for the Patriots. You mentioned it.
What's the timetable for Pitts? I mean, that might have something to do with it too. If you're not going to him at the beginning of the year.
I do not know. That's a great question. Maybe you should have Googled it before you asked it out loud. So you could have like explained as you asked the question. That's on you.
Yeah, I mean, he suffered it at the end of the season. I'm looking right now just as a reminder. And so they were still talking about his timetable in February. So that could have something to do with it, too, where you need a tight end in place. Well, and Pitts can take his time in that sense.
It's wild how big of a failure these last 2 years for the Patriots have been. Like not even the first Tom Brady last season. Like, I feel like they've actually gotten progressively worse. Like, they were kind of still themselves a little bit in 2020 with Mac Jones. But I mean, man, or not with Mac. Sorry, that was the first season with Cam and everything. But like, they've just kind of been like treading water. Like, this has never really been anything great. Like the Matt Patricia stuff, the Jonnu Smith stuff. I mean, it's all just been blah. But okay, so
it's tough in the NFL when you don't have a quarterback. It just really is. And
you know, Patrick Mahomes guy. A dynasty begins, Pete. We know.
No, right. Who knows if Mac is the guy? I'm not making it about the Chiefs. What I'm saying is, I always, and I've said this before on this show, but we always talk about the Brady Belichick pseudo rivalry thing. It's a lot easier when you can pick the rest of your team and you're a good quarterback, a good coach. You have to sort of be in the right place at the right time to get a quarterback. And I don't think the Patriots have that right now.
Okay, you touched on it, so let's go ahead and get to it. On Friday, I wouldn't call it a Friday news dump, but I mean, closest thing we've seen to one with something this large, something of this magnitude. The number one overall pick did change hands. It no longer belongs to the Chicago Bears. The Carolina Panthers sent a ton to Chicago for the right to take the first player in this draft class. So Carolina received, Pete, the number one overall pick in the draft. The Chicago Bears, who have Lovie Smith and Davis Mills, to thank for this, obviously, received 9 overall, which is a first-round pick, obviously, 61 overall, a second-round pick, a 2024 first-round draft pick, a 2025 second-round draft pick, and I believe that there were reports that the Panthers wanted to throw in their 2025 first-round pick, but instead, the Chicago Bears asked for wide receiver DJ Moore. So he is now a member of the Bears contingent. The Bears in the last few months have traded for DJ Moore, for Chase Claypool. They have really remade things a bit for Justin Fields, who now has no threat. Not that anyone I think ever really bought that there would be one, but it's very clearly the Justin Fields show moving forward in Chicago this season. They had the 9th overall pick to add something to that mix. So you never know, but this is kind of fun. I feel like this was a big win for the Bears.
I think it's a big win on both sides. I mean, we're talking about it. If you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing. The Panthers very clearly have somebody in this draft class that they like. Remains to be seen who, you know, which direction they go. I know there had been some smoke surrounding Stroud over the weekend, but the Bears, this to me, slam dunk. You're still a top 10 pick, you know, as we have in our notes here. You get the 61 overall, another first next year, a second later on. And then you had DJ Moore. I mean, the whole thing, all season that we were talking about is, man, how exciting is Justin Fields? And I mean, we were just alluding to fantasy football. DJ Moore has been one of those guys that a lot of fantasy football fans, a lot of NFL fans has been in jail in a sense, like free DJ Moore. Well, this is the freeing of DJ Moore. And kudos to Ryan Poles for recognizing the advantage that he had in Justin Fields. There had been some questions about that, about whether he was the guy. And once he did, he realized, okay, I could trade back and let's just go to the highest bidder. And it ended up being the Carolina Panthers. And again, now I think the timetable for the Bears gets a little spicy. I think they're going to be one of these teams, RJ, not to necessarily win that division, but to be maybe one of those three wildcard teams in the NFC as early as next year, because you're starting to see the pieces come together. You have a draft that is you know, what people would regard as A+ when they look back at it a year from now. You're suddenly, I think, very much in the mix. So it's a good deal on both sides, and we'll see who the Panthers go with. But it's very clearly going to be a quarterback.
I would offer that there's no division that will undergo as much change as the NFC North may conceivably this particular offseason.
The shame, right? That, like, Jeremy isn't here, because Rodgers is not going to be there. You know, you have these questions with Cousins, and as much as we liked Cousins last year, I think
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think you can discount the Bears from winning. I don't think you can say the Bears aren't going to win this thing. Like, you know, like,
oh, this is Detroit's division to lose, baby. That's why I'm saying I miss Jeremy. They should, by the end of this thing, they should be the favorites, right?
I agree with that. But I'm like, would you bet your life savings on that?
On Detroit?
Yeah, to win the NFC North next year.
I wouldn't bet my life savings, but I would put a healthy bet on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking about it's a sizable bet here, right? Like a bet that could tackle you. Like it's a big enough bet that it could take you down.
Yeah, but, a bunch of unis. I put a bunch of unis on.
I'm just saying you cannot say
Detroit.
Like, are you more confident, as an example, that Detroit or Philadelphia will win their respective divisions next year?
That's a good question. I
don't show up to punt.
I think Detroit.
I know
we have a lot of Forever He Reign fans that listen to this show, but Philly to me screams one year.
Let's go.
We won't see a
dynasty begins. Everybody.
I mean, I don't know.
Go.
We'll see, but I would be stunned if Philly didn't win the division. You know, once you start to have to pay up some contracts, it's tough to maintain. It's the reality. Oh, there he goes.
All right.
RJ had to take care of our number one fan, Bear. Is it mail day down there in Texas?
It's not, but, you know, I work from home. My wife works from home. She was out in the morning. She just got back. Bear heard the garage. Okay. You know, hey, Mom, what's up? How you been?
Maybe some TREATS for Bear in those groceries.
Hopefully so, but we were talking about the Bears. That's what I'm saying. Like, the Bears will have the same sort of energy that I think we saw with the Jaguars last year. Like people kind of like, I don't know, man, you know, like they're the young kind of hot up and coming spicy team. The way we saw with the Browns a few years ago, like the early Baker days, like the Jaguars a few years back in the early Blake Bortles days. I do think it's interesting. I think Ryan Poles said this morning on Monday that he also wanted to acquire future draft capital because he has a 2024 first round draft pick from the Panthers and that 2025 second. In the event that they want to move up then, right, to trade up for a quarterback, right? Like, you just don't know. I mean, you don't have to make a long-term decision on Justin Fields. So if you're not in love with Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or whatever the case may be, like, you know, next year, Caleb Williams, yeah, right? Like, whatever you're feeling next year. So the Bears have a lot of options. I'm very, very excited about them moving forward.
Yeah, I just think let's give one of the most exciting players in the NFL a chance. You know, he didn't have a chance last year. And this was a great move. Obviously, I'm always going to be a little bit Bears. There's going to be some Bears favoritism because Poles came from Kansas City, and you know, I think he's a really smart guy. But what a first big time move. And you got to hit on these picks now, right? That's the key. But I feel confident about that.
I also think Poles. I didn't mean to step over you, but I also think like, miss me in the future, anybody with like no, the Texans shouldn't tank. You played like, do you think the Texans don't wish that they had the draft haul that the Bears just got? Like, you want to see the price of winning a meaningless game? Like, it's the haul that the Bears just got. Like, that is the literal price for that.
It's tough because, you know, it's hard to tell these grown men to just like go out and lose a game when you know they're trying to be uber competitive. But I think, to an extent, you're right. Like, there's no reason to be going balls to the wall as far as, like, if you're one of these rebuilding teams, you might as well see what you have, for example, in a quarterback that is young. And if you lose like, along the way, that's a good thing. I'm not saying you intentionally lose, but you know what I mean?
Is there a Texans fan out there who's not insanely jealous of the Bears right now? No, there isn't one.
Well, you just remain in that football purgatory, which is just, you know, never where you want to be. And, you know, now they're not going to have their first choice because the Panthers are keeping that pick and they're going to take who they want. So.
All right. So you mentioned the NFC North. You're kind of our segue king here, Pete. Actually, let's wait on Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
Jalen Ramsey sent to the Miami Dolphins. This happened on Sunday. What were you doing when this happened? Were you watching some conference championships? Like, what was going on in the Sweeney household when this trade went down?
Yeah, I was watching the last few games of the conference tourney, and then we went and got brunch on Sunday. So that was nice. I had a breakfast.
What was the? Oh, I was about to ask. You do some sort of salsa? Some sort of Cholula situation, like
there's this French restaurant that does this fantastic brunch in Kansas City called Westport Cafe, and they had all kinds of seasonings on it. We got some fries with it too. We had some grilled oysters, which you would think, okay, Kansas City, they're not going to grill the oysters. They were delicious. I mean, they were very good, and all for an affordable price because it's the brunch special. So,
oh, wow. Who can argue with that? All right. So Jalen Ramsey traded to the Miami Dolphins. Also kind of a bit of a salary dump, obviously leaving the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams received Miami's 2023 third round picks. That's this year. And tight end Hunter Long. The Miami Dolphins, Pete, despite having no first round draft picks, were able to land one of the best cornerbacks in the game and pair him with Xavier Howard. You could argue that Miami might have the best wide receiver duo in the NFL and the best, you know, starting cornerback tandem in the NFL. It's going to make we're going to see a lot of like training camp battle videos between these two pairs.
I just wonder if this is going to be too spicy for Tom Brady to stay retired. I know that they also
the Dolphins situation.
Yeah, I also over the weekend know that the Dolphins have enacted what would be the 50-year option, which would lead some to believe that like Brady, there's no way he's coming back. But I don't think that means necessarily anything. You're not going to just have that be an unknown and have Tua lingering there. I wonder. I don't trust Brady at all. I wonder if he suddenly realizes, okay, there's another big time opportunity to go win a championship. It's in my old division. I'll get to play New England two times a year, and I get to throw to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, who are two of the best receivers in the NFL, right? Top five for Tyreek, probably top 20 for Waddle, if you want to make that case. And again, now you have a dog on defense. And so I just think the quarterback situation is something to watch down in Miami. We won't hear anything about Brady until he officially, I know there was some smoke there with Rich Eisen, and Brady comes out on Twitter and says, you know, something about the cat, that his daughter has a cat, and
he's
too, but that doesn't mean anything. You just don't trust him at this stage, and Brady would be the best option right now in Miami, in my opinion. So we'll see.
So you had nothing to say about Ramsey. it's all about Brady. This, like, there were, again, to make it about the Cowboys again, like, there were all sorts of Cowboys fans like, that was it. That's all it took. He very clearly wanted to be in Miami specifically. Obviously, he's a Florida dude. You wanted out of LA. This is, I think, the first and most clear indication that the Rams are in sell mode a little bit. The last kind of maybe pieces that they, you know, really could move if they really needed to are probably Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, and Matthew Stafford. Those are a little bit different situations, but Ramsey's kind of the new Darrelle Revis to me. Like, he's the new like mercenary, right? Like, shows up at the right time, takes the team to a new level, obviously won a Super Bowl in LA. Like, maybe that happens in Miami, maybe it doesn't. But I really like this for the Dolphins. I mean, like, I feel like they were on this slope where they could have really, you know, regressed into insignificance. But it feels like there's going to be some staying power here. Like, the Patriots are the Patriots at this point. Like, the Bills need to look over their shoulder. Like, they almost lost to this Dolphins team with Skylar Thompson at quarterback. You mentioned they picked up Tua's fifth-year option. Like, even if it's Tua, you know, at quarterback, like, the Dolphins are definitely a factor, and the Jets certainly if they get Aaron Rodgers. The Bills, you know, little reign over the AFC East might be coming to an end sooner rather than later.
Well, I just think the Bills, and I don't want to say their window of like winning championships is closed, but that window of having like that easier road for a couple of years seems dead. This is going to be a much harder division. You know, if you're playing Aaron Rodgers with the Jets D, that was really the strong point of their team, and suddenly he's there and you're playing him twice a year, and now you're talking about Miami again. We'll see about that quarterback situation, but they just continue to add and add and add and add. And I know we poo-pooed on Bill Belichick and his plan. But I tend to think there's going to be more coaches in place. Like, you would think that would have been an obvious in New England. So I just think they're going to be a little bit more solid. And so what for a couple of years felt like, okay, Bills and everybody else is just getting a little bit more stacked. And that's not to say the Bills can't win that division. It's just going to be that easy road window is over for them as far as the division goes.
I agree with that. Tough times I do think this is the off season where the Bills are, I don't say exposed, you know what I mean? But like I could see us like the season not going well, and then the take becoming kind of what you just said, right? Like, man, if we really look at the Bills run, the AFC East was trash. Tom Brady left, you know what I mean? Like, there will be some, like, they're going to be in some serious like defense mode, if that makes sense. Like, they might be under the most pressure of any of the kind of like would be contender teams.
I think how after last year went, this is going to be a big time Allen questioned year. Like, is he really as good as we think? And he could prove everybody wrong, right? He could reannounce himself and, you know, do the offseason work and come back and go on a mad tear. But it could also go the other way, I think, very easily, where he kind of falls out of favor. And I think it's a big time year for Josh Allen and his legacy and his story.
Last question before we move on. Do you think that just prediction time, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, yes or no, are they all on the Rams roster come week one?
I don't see how, because I just think, as you were sort of describing with this trade, actions speak way louder than words. So I think the Rams are admitting we got the Super Bowl. We said F them picks, but we pretty clearly need those picks now. And we're pretty clearly a couple of years away because of the way we did it. And with that in mind, I think if someone comes along with the right offer for these older players, you're saying to yourself, well, how long are they going to be this valuable? And I think they make some big moves, and we could see those stars headed elsewhere. The NFL is very much like the NBA at this stage, and it's not becoming too uncommon to see these great players end up in other jerseys, which in a way is actually good for business. I think that makes it more exciting, and it keeps the attention on a sport more than any sport that's going on right now. And that, you know, there's not a game for 6 months here, so that's a good thing for the NFL.
I mean, to your point, and I say this with all due respect because the team you cover won the Super Bowl, this is the most exciting the NFL has been since, I don't know, the wild card divisional round of the playoffs. Like, the championship weekend was kind of like boring, you know what I mean? Like the Brock Purdy situation really took the fizzle out of the NFC title game. And then I know that there was the like Burrowhead stuff, whatever, but like that really felt like just like Kansas City fans experiencing. Like, I don't think any like non-Chiefs fan felt slighted or anything. Like, it wasn't as entertaining of a game as I wanted it to be. The Super Bowl was entertaining, but I know people had issues with the penalty, blah blah blah. But like, so this is really fun at the very least to see all this turnover happening.
It's more fun for the league as a whole. You know, I definitely think that there are some NFL fans out there that will watch till the end anyway, but there's also a lot of NFL fans, and this is real, of when their team's out, they're kind of tuned out, and like, mm-hmm. this re-engages everybody as a whole, and I think that is a good thing for the league.
So quickly, just some housekeeping things. The deadline for players to be franchise tagged, eligible players, obviously, was last Tuesday, almost a week ago. The first player this season to get, or offseason, to get the franchise tag was Washington Commanders defensive tackle Daron Payne. Over the weekend, he and the Commanders came to terms on a long-term extension. It is a four-year, $90 million deal with $60 million guaranteed. The true instance, Pete, in which the franchise tag was actually just a placeholder.
Yeah. I mean, that a lot of times is what it is. It's just is buying time in a way. And then other times it's, you know, when you're having an argument with the player and you want to make sure that he doesn't land elsewhere. But yeah, this seemed like a logistic thing, and good for the Commanders and Payne to get this thing done. Stays in Washington. So,
okay. So some quick hitting stuff, to kind of catch us up on Monday. You said this episode would be aged. You were wrong. You were stupid. So Cam Jordan and the Saints, the same Saints, obviously, who last week landed Derek Carr in free agency. I think that happened like right after you guys wrapped up the show. But Cam Jordan and the Saints negotiating a new reworked extension that frees $10 million against this year's salary cap. So the Saints always finding a way to finagle things. The Falcons and Chris Lindstrom, one of their offensive linemen, have a new long-term extension in place. So the dominoes are starting to fall, Pete, all over the place, especially in the NFC South, it would seem.
Yeah. And you're starting to see rumors now come out about this is a very exciting day in the NFL. You're starting to see rumors come out about Jimmy Garoppolo and where he may end up. I think you're going to see a lot shaken up in these next couple of days. And certainly by the time when we speak again, you know, could be a completely different looking league. So that's why this week is so exciting.
Okay, so let's kind of get to the quarterback situation, and we can kind of sit here and chill as the window opens. So you mentioned the rumors coming out right now are that the Houston Texans and the Las Vegas Raiders are expected to pursue Jimmy Garoppolo once the tampering window opens. I wouldn't be shocked, Pete, if like later this afternoon, Jimmy Garoppolo has agreed to terms with one of these two teams. The Nick Caserio connection is very prominent, obviously, in Houston. The Josh McDaniels connection is obviously very prominent in Las Vegas. I think if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, you probably want to go to Houston, right? Like your path to victory is probably easier there. They did sign Robert Woods over the weekend. So you have Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks to work with. Obviously, though, you probably have some competition coming in by way of the number two overall pick. That probably doesn't exist in Vegas. I think there's one quarterback on the Raiders roster right now. So if you want to play, maybe Vegas is the place. But if you go to Vegas, you got to contend with, you know, the Chiefs and the Chargers. And obviously the Broncos are going to be back because that's obvious.
Yeah, this is a tough call, I think, for Jimmy G. I tend to think he's going to want a long-term contract to be the starter. And I just don't know if Houston is going to be in that position to give him that slam dunk, shut the door on any competition, as you were mentioning. And I think when you are a player who wants to play and be the guy, to me, that's more attractive. And so I'm going to lean Vegas here.
What's your prediction?
Instead of Houston. As far as what?
Okay. Oh, my goodness. The Chris Lindstrom extension in Atlanta is a 5-year, $105 million deal. So those numbers coming in.
The Falcons are having a spicy morning down there in Atlanta.
Right. I mean, well, they had all the salary cap space to work with. So they've now devoted some to Chris Lindstrom, to Jonnu Smith. So your prediction is Jimmy G to Vegas. I'm predicting Jimmy G to Houston. Is that correct? We're on either side of the aisle here.
Is this a burrito? We haven't done a burrito.
Oh, we haven't done a burrito bet in a while. I don't think we ever paid up on it, actually.
I don't even know who owes what.
I know that you owed,
there's a reason.
And apparently you have the pocket space to splurge on a burrito, as evidenced by your little brunch venture yesterday.
It was so big, I had to take half of it home. You know, you could just tell that it was like 4 pounds. So I got ahead of it and cut it before. And I said, I'm going to take this half of it home.
You cut the burrito completely straight down the middle, or you do the diagonal cut?
It was the diagonal half, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like the diagonal because I think things are more prone to falling out.
This was a pretty buttoned up burrito. Nice little pork. You know, they got some guac on it too. There's some red sauce. It was very delicious. Yeah.
I tweeted about this just quickly, and then we'll
the
get
burrito?
To. No. I on Sunday ordered a pellet grill for my household. Miss me with the easy bake oven stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
Outdoor, oven, whatever. Blah blah. I'm all about convenience. You know what I'm saying? So. If anybody has some pellet grill recipes they want to throw my way, I'm super fine with that. But you mentioned pork. One of the first big ventures I want to try, I'm thinking for like Sweet 16, mm-hmm. Pulled pork sandwiches, baby.
A little sweet pork for the Sweet 16.
Oh!
The pork, if you have the pellet thing, the pork just falls off the bone. I mean, which is what everyone who has a pellet says. I mean, the meat is just falling off the bone.
All right.
And you're going to get some people down there in West Lycos that are going to be popping over randomly. Hey, RJ, because the smells down there, once you get that thing going. So mm-hmm. Good luck to you.
Okay. So you mentioned our show notes a little while ago. One of the bullet points literally, and I wrote this, so shout out to me, says obligatory Aaron Rodgers jet stuff. What's going to happen? It's Monday morning. It's now 13 minutes till 11 a.m. Central
feels
time.
It feels imminent. I think it's imminent.
So I don't know if you've been monitoring this all morning. You've had a very busy day, I'm sure, in the aftermath of the burrito.
Yeah, you should have seen it.
But there are some Packers fans that are, quite frankly, upset, that are bothered because their salary cap situation is kind of, being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers and his decision. Like the word at our moment in time presently is that the Packers and Jets both. Neither knows what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. So you've got them both kind of like the scene in The Office, like, kind of like finger guns pointed at one another. Like what's going to happen? Like if you're the Packers, how can you bring in anybody else? How can you utilize that salary cap space? If you're the Jets, are you just going to let Jimmy Garoppolo talk to the Raiders and the Texans? He's the best quarterback set to hit unrestricted free agency. So like both of these teams are really trapped by Aaron Rodgers and his indecision.
This is real because it actually happened in KC last year because Tyreek and the Chiefs couldn't come to an agreement. Tyreek wanted more money. And at the same time, they couldn't come to a deal with Orlando Brown, who they had franchise tagged with hopes of a long-term contract because Orlando Brown didn't have an agent. So all the money was just tied up. So the Chiefs were probably not as big as players in free agency as they would have wanted to be. And that's part of the reason why they ended up foregoing the franchise tag for Orlando Brown this year.
Too bad they only won the Super Bowl.
I know. Look at that. No free agents, and they were able to do that. Unbelievable. Anyway, long story short, this is real. And I'm sure Green Bay is annoyed. I'm sure New York is annoyed. And I think Aaron Rodgers, either way, whatever he chooses, what's his whole gripe? He always comes in, he always hum-ho at the press conference and always has these cheeky, dumb answers. And he has to be and feel like the smartest person in the room. Well, effing newsflash, Aaron. If you don't come to a decision quick, it's going to be hard for this team to give you the pieces that you need because you're tying everything up, man. So make a call and put your team in the best possible situation to do what you always complain about, which is surround you with talent, right? So I don't get it. That's the long story short to say I don't get it.
Well, I don't get it either because, like, you also, I mean, you're right. Like, he obviously has to be, like, the smartest guy in the room, the wisest guy, the most clever guy, whatever. Wisest? Most wise? I think it's most wise. I don't think wise
either
is
one
is
word, yeah, but, either one is good.
But he has also said, I don't want to do what Brett did to me. I don't want to, you know, be that guy. And he said a year ago, I'm not going to take this into March. I'm going to know. I'm going to announce. I'm going to be whatever. Here we are. like you know, this is literally who you yourself very recently said you were not going to be. Right. And all the reports over the weekend were that the Packers and the Jets have like the framework of the deal done and completed. It's just literally a matter of what Aaron wants to do. Justice Mosqueda, obviously from SB Nation's Acme Packing Company, just tweeted this out. And I don't think either of us can like answer this, you know, from the same place as Justice, but I'm curious for your answer. And I think this is specific to Packers fans only. Maybe it's not, though. But he tweeted, if Aaron Rodgers messes up the Packers' cap/2023 free agency on the way out, does it impact his legacy in Green Bay? There's a poll option, but I'll amend the question for you. He is one of the greatest players of all time, right? Like there's no denying that. Neither of us are going to, like, he has annoyed me greatly as a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm kind of happy to see that everybody else is catching up to this. But, like, I do think this is tarnishing his legacy a little bit. Like, we remember Brett and the drama and the silliness and everything that kind of followed at the end. Like, I do, like, it. Not everybody can go out, you know, riding off into the sunset the way Peyton Manning did or John Elway did. Like, this is a very bumpy, dramatic, you know, needlessly silly exit for Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and I don't know how it just keeps end up being the same franchise that has these weird, messy exits. I mean, this is so crazy that it was the same franchise having a situation to do with Aaron Rodgers on the other side of it. The last time does this happen where it was, am I going to retire? Or am I going to want to go to another team? Do I get to pick my team? And even odder is that it's going to end up involving the Jets again at the end of this situation. So it's wild how history is repeating itself. This is usually your beat of weird things that connect in history, but I am just as fascinated as you might be, RJ, about with this whole situation.
I mean, it's very funny, obviously, that it's the Jets of all teams. I mean, if we think back, it was coming off that 07 year. So a good time in the Sweeney household, both years, the Giants having just won the Super Bowl in 2007, preluding Aaron Rodgers getting traded. And obviously the Chiefs getting number two, Kadarius Toney basically winning the Super Bowl for the New York Giants. You know, lots of interesting coincidences and whatnot, but do you think this happens? Like, I guess we're at the point where we have to make a prediction. Like you said, it feels imminent.
Yes. I think he ends up being in New York. I just think, the solid connection, I just think he's this is real. The Jets have a playoff D and they have a defense and it's a young defense that's good enough to make them legitimate so long as they get a quarterback. Aaron's got to see that. It has appeared over the weeks that Green Bay is ready once again to move on from their last franchise quarterback. It just makes too much sense. The only way that I think, like, I'm at the point where I believe that it's going to be Jets or he's not going to play. And I just tend to think Aaron Rodgers is not going out by losing to the Lions to not make the playoffs. And I think, speaking of that game, you saw how he was acting. It was very weird how he was acting afterward.
I don't care about that.
Like, I tend to think that Green Bay time is over with. And I just think this makes a lot of sense.
This whole experience has really led me, And like, this is applicable to a lot of things in life, but to the Joker quote from The Dark Knight Rises, or I'm sorry, just The Dark Knight, when he says, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Like that is like exactly what we've seen here. Like, it is amazing, like amazing poetry that, you know, he became Brett. And I think, like, even Brett's exit from Green Bay was not this tumultuous. It was
it was bad. It was.
But like he got the flowers and the press conference and the tears and the hugs and the tributes. You know what I'm saying? Like he got all that. And yes, it was very stressful once he decided to come back. But when he decided to come back, they said, it can't happen. You know what I mean? Like there was, I think Green Bay handled that a lot better than they've handled this.
It also felt like, and I, you know, maybe I'm just misremembering because I was in a way younger and it's a long time ago, but it also felt like there was more confidence in Rodgers than the unknown of Jordan Love. We've had these glimpses of Jordan Love and it does not feel like he is as sure of a next man up than Rodgers was at that time.
Right.
And so I think that's made it like a little bit different because I think in the course of the past year and change here, Green Bay has held on to that because I think there is some uncertainty surrounding Love. But at this stage, I just think it's so toxic between quarterback and franchise that both could use a fresh start. And I think that's the way it's headed.
I will forever remember there's a very popular NFL Films clip of a Packers fan talking to Ted Thompson, like outside of Packers training camp that year when things were tense. And I'm sure you've seen the clip before, but the Packers fan tells him, he says, how are you going to go without Rod or without Favre, who could take you to the Super Bowl, and go with this guy who instead is going to take you to the toilet bowl? Burn. Boom. Mm-hmm. Yahtzee.
There's also that famous, and you'll enjoy this, Bills Cowboys video where the Bills fan is, Dallas is going down. And Dallas didn't go down. It's been a long time ago for that, though, RJ.
Okay, some quick hitting things as we are now fewer than 5 minutes away. There were some interesting reports from ESPN's kind of, buzz news dump on Sunday morning with Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler. They noted that Kirk Cousins is kind of a sneaky name to maybe be on the trade block for Minnesota. That would be a mistake, I think, in both of our minds. You and I both seem to respect Kirk more than the average person. If the Vikings punt on Kirk Cousins, like, what is the plan? Like I can't understand how that would be a good idea. I think he is perennially underrated, but I can't imagine how this would make sense.
Yeah. I don't know that's my thing. I think if you get a quarterback and you feel like he's right on the line of franchise, not franchise, I tend to think Kirk is a franchise quarterback, but you have to have a contingency plan after that, right? Like you can't just go in completely blind. And I agree with you. I'd be okay with it if they were like, well, we're getting rid of Kirk, but we're going to plan B and here's our legitimate quarterback. But unless you have that, it seems a little bit short-sighted.
Well, especially if the other potential news buzz note is true in that they might be moving on from Dalvin Cook. Like this makes sense. Obviously you're kind of at that stage of Dalvin Cook's career, but so you're going to and you have Alexander Mattison and I think everybody's pumped, but this offense can only be Justin Jefferson and co for so long. So you're going to bring Justin, you've already moved on from Adam Thielen, which again, I'm not here to say that was a bad move or anything, but you've moved on from Adam Thielen. You're putting out word that you might move on from Kirk. You might move on from Dalvin Cook. What are the Vikings going to look like next year?
No, it's a good question. And I don't hate that moving on from Thielen. Thielen's a different type of player now. I don't think he's done, but he's not going to be your wide receiver too. I think he's morphing into more of that role player for you. But yes, the ensuing moves that you just described, it does leave you asking questions of, well, if you're going to pivot, this is a pretty big pivot. It's almost like a 2-year pivot as opposed to just the 1 year. So we'll see how it goes in Minnesota.
Okay. Final predictions. Well, we'll hold on to just a few minutes past 11. Final predictions. Give us something crazy that you think happens, Pete.
Something that I think that's crazy that happens. Well, we already talked about it. I think Jimmy G.
That's your crazy thing, Jimmy G.
In a Vegas Raiders uniform seems a little nuts to me. You don't feel that way?
No. Okay. How is that crazy? Oh, the Raiders have another average quarterback. Wow! Well, crazy.
What's your crazy thing?
It's a much more wider net than you're willing to cast. So I'll at least give you credit for being specific. I think we see an immovable piece from a contender move. So pick the contender. I'll name the teams. I think between the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Bills, the Eagles.
Like a T. Higgins.
I think about I remember when the Eagles traded away LeSean McCoy. That I remember being stunned by that. How did this happen? you know what I mean? And I mean, it was a different time and it was a running back and things like that. Yeah. But that felt so absolutely, you know, shocking. And so I think it's something like that, like, or when the Saints traded away Jimmy Graham, you know what I mean? Like something like that, like a what, you know, like something that truly, totally commands all of the eyeball emojis. But again, coming from a contender, and I'll limit that to say the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Bills, the Niners.
To try to figure this thing out for you though, like, I think a good way to gauge a team that could do that is Philly, Cincinnati, or LA Chargers, because of the commitment they're going to have to make now to the QB. Mm-hmm. So you need to, you know, make some cuts at that point. And rather than just losing player X, you know, maybe it is a T Higgins, maybe, you know, a Keenan Allen.
Well, they restructured his deals. Maybe not Keenan, but like to your point, like we saw Darius Slay, like the rumors pop up over the weekend as the weekend started, like something like that. Like I think that we're going to get one of those like wild, crazy, oh my gosh, can't believe this actually is happening. No, like Stephon Diggs type thing.
Maybe it's not Keenan Allen. Like they signed Mike Williams last year. You know, at a certain point, you look at your younger players and you have a Josh Palmer now in LA, and you say, okay, we can shave some salary here and we could feel like we can still win. Now, maybe it's that type of thing. I think you look to those teams that need to make the room, and that's where those gigantic, oh, you didn't really see it, you know, trades tend to happen.
Mm-hmm. It is 11 a.m. officially, Central Standard Time.
Noon Eastern, too.
Noon Eastern. So lunch for the East Coasters. Pete, I want you to know nobody has tampered before this moment. It hasn't happened at all. Zero tampering has taken place,
especially at Prime in Indianapolis or St. Elmo's. I'm sure no conversations were had about players that are available.
Right. None. Zero. I'm trying to buy us a little bit of time to see if like a big time thing does happen. I'm not saying anything. I mean, what a disappointment. Seriously. I mean, is that a cold brew in your hand?
This is an espresso. I have not used the cold. It's so cold here in Kansas City. I'm hoping it warms up soon. I mean, it's been a pretty mild winter, but I'm ready for the spring feels to hit us.
I haven't seen anything. I'm so disappointed.
Well, I'm sure as soon as we go off the podcast.
Yeah, as soon as we like click end stream, something will happen. Something wild, something crazy. What a boring situation. Well, let's get some non-boring stuff in here. Can we welcome in Baby Spice, aka Rachelle, to let us know? First of all, Rachelle, your thoughts on who we picked to be which Spice Girl, and whether you agree or not. Your thoughts on everything that's happened in the NFL and, of course, the MFWMVP.
I like Baby Spice. I think that was fitting for me. Fun fact, in my friend group, they actually refer to me as Sporty Spice, but I'll take Baby Spice.
Wow.
Let's make RJ then Baby Spice. I mean, he is
it's okay.
He is the leader of this whole thing. You'll become Sporty. That'll
if you
be
want
fine.
To trade, Rachelle, I want you to be who you want to be. That's what I want.
This is fitting for this situation. Okay. I think Baby Spice is fitting. I forgot what you guys said for Pete, though. Who did you say for Pete?
I'm Posh Spice.
Pete picked Posh for himself. do you agree? Do you think he is Posh? I'm Sporty. Jeremy's Ginger and Kissed is Scary. Like, or would you change any of that?
No, I think that those are very fitting.
Yeah, we feel good about those. Yeah.
I like them. Okay. That was fun. That was a fun little exercise. My biggest takeaway from everything that's happened so far was definitely what happened with Jalen Ramsey. I just think that's very exciting for the Dolphins. Big win for them. RJ, you already touched on it. Top two wide receiver, definitely going to be top Fins two up. In the argument. So I think that's going to be a win. And also all eyes are going to be on the Panthers, you know, just trying to see which quarterback goes first. That's going to be where I'm also paying attention to. But based off of today and everything you guys said, I love Pete's take about just pretty much like keeping your eyes out on the quarterback situation in Miami, because Tom Brady, you just can't really trust him. You don't know how things are going to pan out and how everything is too spicy for him not to come back because it's so competitive now. I also like, RJ, your point about the question that you posed about the confidence in Detroit versus Philly. finishing in their division. I thought that that was really good. And then you also made a point about that I agreed with. This was predicting to see Jimmy G with the Texans. I like that prediction over seeing them with the Raiders.
I'm feeling good about this all of a sudden.
And then Pete, I did really like your prediction. I think, I don't know what RJ was saying in regards to this, but Pete, you were just talking about how you think he's going to land. Aaron Rodgers is going to land in New York. I agree. Yeah. I see that.
I'm just apathetic. I just really don't care. Just get it. I just want it to be over. Like, I'm tired of this being a thing in our lives. That's really how I feel.
Yeah. So both of you guys had really, really strong picks today. I'm going to give it to Pete.
Woo!
You guys both did a great job.
Man, they do call me free agency Pete.
So you went... You wanted the first one as Spice Girls to go to Posh over Sporty, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if we somehow kept track of all the heads up MVP wins that I've had over RJ, I think I'm at like 75-80%. I would not even exaggerate, I feel like there.
Rachel, my feelings are hurt.
You have a better name though. Sporty Spice is definitely better.
Yeah, you do.
That's true. Yeah, like who wants to be Posh? I mean, you know. Yeah. And I mean, Sporty's cool. I think about like the clothing. Like I get to be in comfortable clothes all the time. Pete, you got to be like all dressed up. Like I'm really not a fan of that. Baby Spice had the swing in the movie. Rachel, so you get the swing. That's a cool little twist on what you've got going on. So Pete, then nothing happened in the last 5 minutes that we've been on.
Maybe the NFL gave that inner memo of let's actually pretend for about 15 minutes instead of 1 minute after the tampering period deals are announced, and so maybe there's just like a little bit of a natural delay that they've built in here.
Well, whatever the case may be, let's get out of here so that the first official move can happen. Because it's obviously, again, it's going to be that. It's going to be literally as we end this. So, Pete, send us out with a power ranking of your top five favorite, actually top three, because five's kind of hard. Top three favorite Spice Girl songs in ascending order. So 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
I'll buy you a little bit of time if you need to pull up a list.
I'm looking.
This whole conversation started with Stop. We've got Spice Up Your Life, Wannabe.
So it goes Stop 3, of course. Spice Up Your Life is 2, and then Wannabe.
Okay, so the two I said. So, and Rachel, remember, he's the one you gave the MVP to, not me, even though I just did all the work.
Wannabe is 1. I mean, if you're thinking Spice Girls, you're thinking about wanting to be the lover, you got to get with the friends. I mean, there's nothing that you think more that for Spice Girls than that.
I don't know, man, because like Spice Up Your Life has the like la la like that little like if I had to like I think about it sometimes like if I had to enter like a stadium to a song, it might be that one. You know what I mean? Like that beginning, like with some smoke and you know like strobe lights going on, like boom.
All I gotta say to that suggestion is stop right now. Thank you very much. All right.
Wow, you do need a human touch. Let's get out of here. Let's leave. Everybody have a great day. Good luck. Enjoy free agency.